Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming through our area or if you're moving to our area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to help you. We'd love to meet you, worship with you, and serve God together. We are located on the corner of Park Boulevard and West County Road in Odessa, Texas, 1700 Park Boulevard. Please come by and let me know if I can help you in any way. If you're looking for a church home in your part of the world, or you're looking with someone to study the Bible with, let me know and I'll be glad to help you find someone in your area, or I'll help you any way that I can. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to be studying a new subject matter for a few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified. All right, let's open up our Bibles as we continue our study. We're going to be looking today at our book of Philippians as we continue that study. Last week we covered chapter 3 and verse 1, and today we're going to cover chapter 3 and verse 2. And so we're going to be looking at 3 points from this verse, and I hope you will follow along and that we can enjoy this study together. Philippians 3 and verse 2, it says this: "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation." Three different warnings here. Beware. Beware. What does beware mean? Well, you know what it means. It means to watch out, to look out for, to be on alert, to pay attention. It's a warning to the brethren. And folks, warnings to the brethren is essential in the responsibility of the preacher, of the teacher, of the elder, of the faithful child of God. We ought to be looking out for one another. We ought to be looking out for error and be able to point it out so that others do not fall into the trap. It may be you've been in a place where there were some risks, some danger. For instance, out here in the fields of West Texas, they are filled with rattlesnakes. And it is very common, if you're out in the country, to find a rattlesnake on the move. We're about a month away from when they get really aggressive and they feed really hard and they get ready to mate and to go down underground for the brief winter. But that really gets crazy in October, and so we have to be careful, especially around them. Now, if somebody were to be here in the building this morning and you happen to see a rattlesnake in the building, I would hope that you would have the care and kindness to warn people of the pending doom. More important, when we see error in the church, when we see error being taught in the world, we have to have a willingness to point out that error to warn our brethren. And that's what Paul does here for the church at Philippi. This is nothing new for him. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 28, I'm going to read through verse 32. I want you to notice what he told the elders in Ephesus. He said this: "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to the flock." They had to watch out for themselves first and then to the flock, "among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, bishops, shepherds, elders." That's the picture here. "To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves..." Not just some friendly guy who's teaching something a little different. It's okay. I know him. I've known him since he was a kid. Just let it go. No, that's not what Paul says. "Savage wolves." Where did they come from? "They will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Now notice what he then tells them. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. What did Paul tell the church at Ephesus through these pastors, shepherds, leaders, overseers, bishops, elders? What did he tell them? Watch out for false doctrine. Take care of yourself first, then watch the flock, and make sure that the guiding principle for how you work and worship in the church is the Bible. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. The same thing is true today, folks. We have to turn to God's word, and we need to watch what it says and compare what is being taught to what is stated within the scriptures. Acts 17:11. Search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, Paul told the church at Rome that they too needed to watch out for these that were teaching error. Here's what he says. Now I urge you, brethren, note those. That is, write it down, mark it out, make sure we're aware. Those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are of such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They are teaching error, and they're doing it for their own gain, for their own benefit. It might be financial. Peter talks about that in his second letter, about those who are preaching primarily for gain and how it pleases people so that they get more in attendance and so on. Paul warned Timothy about those who would have itching ears, who would heap up for themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear. By the way, let's say, for instance, we are involved in a congregation that's involved in a preacher search. We're not supposed to be looking for somebody who tells us what we agree with and what we think. We're to find someone who preaches what the Bible says. It might be that we're wrong. We have to make sure that we're aware of what the Bible says, and that's the principle. You know, today, so many places, what they look for in a preacher, and I had one just recently who wanted to know about how many kids the person had, how old they were, what kind of education they have, do they have a master's degree, do they have this, that, and the other? Are we trying to hire a CEO of a business or a business manager, an operations manager? Are you trying to hire a preacher of the gospel? Folks, we need to make sure that we understand the standard is the word of God. It's not some worldly situation. Those who preach this false error are serving themselves. That's what he means when he served their own belly. It's important today, folks, that we continue to warn brethren. I know people don't like it. When preaching is hard and tough, a lot of people want to turn it off. Our own brethren don't want to hear it. The world certainly doesn't want to hear it. What we want to hear is everybody's okay, and that's not the truth. Folks, we can't pretend like everything's wonderful. That snake is present. So Paul would warn the brethren here, and he lists three different groups. Notice again, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation. Those three things are all talking about one group of people. It's just one group of people, and he describes them in three ways, and we're going to talk about those three ways in just a moment. But why would he warn Philippi? Everything else in the book so far has been positive. He's just commended Timothy and Epaphroditus for their faithfulness. He's been talking about having the mind of Christ and salvation and how they live their lives pleasing to God. And now he's going to bring up false doctrine and talk about a group of people that are causing harm? Yes, folks. It is a necessity of gospel preaching and of the church to watch out for error. Why did he do it? Because he loved God. He loved Jesus Christ our Lord. He loved the brethren. You see, if that error gets in the brethren, they will be lost and they will have no hope. Folks, right now today, a lot of times we want to be very passive and wimpy, and we want to be soft in our dealings with those who are outside of Christ. But folks, if we're not right with God, we have no hope. We have no hope of eternal life. What we can't allow to happen is for this error and this false doctrine to creep in and take out a single soul from the saved. We have to stand true. It's because we love them and we love God. We have to stand for the truth. What was he trying to do? Who was trying to hurt Philippi? Well, let's talk about that. Let's notice these three descriptions. First, he describes them as dogs. He says, "Beware of the dogs." Now, we need to remember some things about this. First of all, when he says, "Beware of dogs," who's he talking about here? Well, the answer is, these are Jews who've been baptized into Christ, but they are holding on to the old law. We call them Judaizers. They want people to go back to follow the old law, especially Gentile converts. And that would include the idea of circumcision, which we'll talk about in just a moment. They want to follow the law. They're Judaizers. And there are examples of their beliefs and having to deal with them in the church in several books, like the book of Galatians, the book of Romans. Paul deals with them in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. They're dealt with several times in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 15 and 16, when the great council comes together to discuss some of these things, including the Gentiles. But in this discussion, we learn about their desire, in particular, for circumcision for the Gentiles and following the law. Paul would make it very clear, if you follow the law, you have to keep it perfectly, and no one can, which means you're lost. We're not under that law. We're now under a different law. We are under grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 tells us. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 tells us that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that is the gospel, has set us free from the law of sin and death, that is the old law. And so that old law is done away with. It's been nailed to the cross, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. And so we're not under that law. And in fact, these men had come together and talked about these things. But these Judaizers wanted the Gentiles to be circumcised. The apostles and leaders of the church, when they dealt with these things, and they determined that, listen, if you're under the gospel, you shouldn't have to do those things. And yes, we ought to welcome in these Gentiles as brethren, just as Peter had showed them the example of Cornelius from Acts chapter 10 and his discussion with them in chapter 11. It is something they should have known and understood, and when it was discussed and everybody's on the same page, that should have been the end of it. But like so many other things in life, we can get together, we can have a business meeting, and our work or maybe it's in the home, we can get together with all of our family or whatever, and we're going to say, all right, we're going to do so-and-so, and we make a decision. And I guarantee you, like if we said, all right, we're going to get together on such and such day, and all the family, we're going to exchange gifts, I promise you, one of my family is going to say, hey, you know what? We're thinking about going to Dallas on this day, so can we come this day instead? We just said we're going to meet on this day. You know, we love you, but if you can't come, then so be it. We'll see you when you come. But this is when the family's meeting. And sadly, in the church, so often people do the same thing. As soon as something is said, here comes somebody on the backside going to try to do something different. That's not submission. That's not following the leadership. Folks, we've got to make sure we understand that when these Gentiles were welcomed into the church, they should have already from the very beginning. It was their own bias and prejudice that was causing the problem in the first place. But Peter had to learn the lesson from God. He had to learn it again in Galatians chapter 2 when Paul had to call him on the carpet because of his bias and prejudice. And then they discuss it in chapter 11. It's discussed in chapter 15. And here we are later down the road and people are still being prejudiced and biased, trying to make the Gentiles do what the Jews had been doing formerly. It's false doctrine. It's false doctrine. And so, whether it was at Rome, chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29 of the book of Romans, or Galatians chapter 5 and 6 and so on, this was a problem. You think prejudice and bias is something new? Folks, it's been around forever. I don't think it's going around anytime soon, but nor do I think it's as bad as some people are blowing it up to be today either. The fact of the matter is, Christians love everyone, regardless of nationality, skin color, gender, whatever it may be, financial condition. We should have no prejudice. Somebody who comes in, who's the very poorest person in this building, has the same status with God as the most wealthy person in this building. The person of different skin colors around the world that are worshiping God today is being heard just like any other person in the world is being heard today by God. Folks, there's no bias with God. There's no respecter of persons. So we shouldn't have that within us. We're sinful and need to repent if we're being prejudicial in our treatment of people. And folks, that's something they were having a problem with. So Paul is going to warn the brethren at Philippi about these Judaizers who wouldn't let go of the old law. They were trying to make the Gentiles follow it. Now, it may seem out of character for the Apostle Paul, who's so loving and kind and compassionate. Listen, he was bold, but he was never unruly. He never struck back. He never resisted. He was humble. He was a great servant of God. But we just saw the loving words that he poured out for Epaphroditus and the loving kindness he showed for his fellow worker, Timothy. And now all of a sudden he's calling someone dogs? Well, let's understand why he's doing that. Rather than behaving like human beings should, they're acting like dogs, these Judaizers. They're on the prowl. One person described it as strays, basically. They said they have no owner, and they're feeding, and they're fighting, and they're going through and causing havoc. I liked one description I found. They are barking and going crazy with anger and hate toward others. They would attack anyone and anything. I don't know if you've ever been where there are a pack of wild dogs biting and devouring. Whenever we lived up in Kansas, on our farm, whether it was the dairy cows, especially when they were calving, or the sheep in particular, because those lambs are very tiny. Here comes those dogs, and those dogs would try to run the sheep, or they would try to kill the lambs. Once a dog gets that taste of blood in its mouth, it's all over. There's nothing you're going to do for that dog. He's going to have to be put down. And the sad thing is, these Judaizers were acting just like those wild dogs. They're biting and devouring. And listen, their bite and devour destroys souls of men. The dogs, by the way, is a play on words as well. The Jewish rabbis had a saying. It says, the nations of the world, talking about Gentiles, because they looked at everybody as either Jew or Gentile. It's us or everybody else. Some Americans have that mindset too. Christians shouldn't. All people around the world who are God's people are part of the brotherhood. They're our family in Christ Jesus. But there are a lot of people who have that. So he said, the nations of the world are like dogs. And Paul uses this as kind of an ironic way to describe these Judaizing Jews. The dogs in the Jewish culture was unclean. It was not a clean animal that would be eaten. It was unclean. It was to be shunned. It was despised. And so Paul took the word that they use for the Gentiles and turns it around on them. He's letting them see who the dog really is. It's not the Gentile world. It's those who are acting with this prejudice and bias. How were they dogs? Well, they were barking out their false doctrine. They were hounding Paul from city to city and proclaiming their false doctrine. Like rabid dogs, they were attacking the body of Christ. Like rabid dogs, they were biting and devouring. And if you know what a rabid dog is, that bite is poisonous. And if it bites you, you're going to have to go through painful treatments every month, having these long needles shoved into your abdomen, giving you injections to fight it so it doesn't kill you. It is not something pleasant. And these dogs were infecting the church. They were bringing their poison and destruction and their spiritual destruction, this fatal bite, into the brethren. And so if these dogs are left alone, they're going to devour the flock. And so they had to be dealt with. They had to be pointed out so they wouldn't destroy the lives of those within the church. It was essential for these false teachers to be called out, to be rebuked, and the brethren to be warned. And there's a lot of people today who don't like that kind of preaching and teaching. But folks, we have to. You have to. I hope you're not one of those big procrastinators. Okay, I'll just tell myself, I am, depending on what it is, right? So, when do you go to the doctor? I go to the doctor when they picked me up in the helicopter and took me to the hospital. That's when I went to the doctor. When, you know, a lot of men don't like to go to the doctor. We're not going to, we're tough. We can handle it even though we can't walk 5 feet without hurting, right? We're tough. Okay, that's one kind of procrastination. There's procrastination where you act like the famous king or like those on Mars Hill who said, almost thou hast persuaded me, or I'll hear you another day on this. Folks, we can't put it off to obey the gospel and do what's right. We're not promised tomorrow. There are many ways in which people procrastinate, and they wait and they wait and they say, well, just maybe. Listen, when it comes to rabid dogs coming in and destroying the flock, you better get out there and stop them or your flock's going to be gone. Every farmer knows that, whether it's a coyote, whether it's a mountain lion, whether it's dogs. You have to stop the threat. And if somebody's coming into the church and teaching error, we have to stop the threat, folks. That doesn't mean we hurt them. It means we show them the truth of God's word and beg them to repent of their sins. And if they will not, then we have to practice church discipline. Folks, we need to make sure we warn our brethren, love them enough to tell them the truth of what God's word says. I'm thankful that you were here with us tonight, and I invite you to come back next week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock as we continue this study of the book of Philippians. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We invite you to always give us a call or send me an email if you have questions. We want to help you any way that we can. This is Denny Wilson. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.